Good to be back with you folks, and love to hear your singing and see your zeal for the Lord, which is good. Praise his name. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 17 through the end of this chapter. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. Hear now the word of God. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, slander, be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. The Word of God. My sermon is entitled, Put Off and Put On. Essential commands of God through Paul in this passage. When I was younger, maybe you remember the same song as this. I love the song, The Way We Were, sung by Barbara Streisand. Back then, it reminded me of my youth. Well, it still does. When I was courting Gail, my wife, and thought about the ways that God had led in our lives. Now, in this passage, the way we were, which is a phrase in the text, refers to the way we walk, the way we live. In order that the way we walk should, the way we should walk becomes apparent to us, look with me at 4:1, just to get a start on this chapter. Ephesians 4:1. 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And of course, you students know this follows a lengthy, beautiful three chapters of theological riches. And then he comes to this application section, verse chapter 4. Therefore, since we know all these truths, we are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now to verse 17, 4:17. In this section, Paul continues his theme about walking. The way we were and the way we should be. First of all, the way we used to walk. That's my first point. Read again 4:17-19. This is the way we used to walk. Look at it in your Bibles. 4:17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now, as the Gentiles walked, is the phrase. And we should think of ourselves in this category as the way we walked before we were converted. Now, we are Gentiles, most of us to begin with. And the phrase refers as to those who are not the people of God. These are not the ones whom God has spoken. Sir Clare Ferguson makes this point in his commentary. The mind of the people whom God has not spoken are the Gentiles. And so they walk in a way that's not in keeping with the Word of God. Their minds were futile, misguided, vain, fleshly, darkened, alienated from the life of God, ignorant and hard of heart. All these words can describe us in parts of our lives and maybe even now as we are not yet in heaven. The unregenerated heart automatically walks this way. The unregenerated heart automatically walks this way. It's still fleshly. The flesh has not yet been resurrected, you see. So you and I, who are born again, are still encased in these bodies that are not yet resurrected. And so the flesh still yearns for its own feelings and priorities and to be first and so on. Still, to be tempted to walk, still tempted to be walking the ways of the old life, to follow the crowd, to be accepted. I think of this election past when people were afraid to tell which candidate they wanted to pull for because they're afraid of rejection, afraid of criticism and being looked down upon. Those things happen to us all day long in different ways. But you see, we're still capable of being greedy, hard-hearted. There's a spiritual warfare going on, the flesh versus the spirit. See verse 31 of this chapter. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you along with all malice. This is the way it is still possible for members of the Church of Christ to live. We're easily tempted to sensuality, especially in this lifestyle, this generation. Commercials on TV. I was watching sports yesterday, a little football now and then, and a commercial came up, and I had to actually hover my eyes from the woman making the advertisement. She was revealing so much. It's still a temptation, even to an old guy like me. It's a real battle for young men and for women. I work with young men and women at college, and I was a little surprised to hear from the woman who's my partner and works with the ladies primarily, how the ladies struggle with pornography. Now, that was a real shock to me, but she says it is in fact the case. So we're all struggling with the same issues, maybe in different forms, but this is not the only way or the actual way we should live. There's another option. Sinclair remarks on this passage. He reminds us that there's a new now, a new reality already has dawned upon us as the Holy Spirit has entered our lives, a new option, a new way to live. by the atoning death and resurrection, ascension of Christ and the Holy Spirit coming to us. In these last days, as was prophesied in the Old Testament, we do have the Holy Spirit within us, and He is there to guide us in our life. The new life within us and a new present. Now I want to talk point number two, the way we could live. The first point was the way we tend to live. Point number two is the way we could and should live. Verse 20 to 24. This is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former way of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Pause and meditate on these verses. Look back at verse 20 and catch the idea that a new mindset has been given to us who are in Christ. Verse 21, we have been taught the Holy Scriptures. We've been taught the Word of God. The truth is within us. Now here's what we learned. If we were saved by the Holy Spirit's power, we have the Holy Spirit's ministry called sanctification. I know you know this from your catechetical studies. Sanctification has two parts. First of all, to be technical just for a minute, we call it definitive sanctification. That sanctification has begun in your life and it is perpetual. The Holy Spirit has come and He's begun a new work in you. That work will not stop. Then there's progressive. And that refers, of course, to the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit, who uses the means of grace. And this is one of the main reasons you're here today, of course, to worship God, and in doing so, to hear Him speak to you through the Word of God. The means of grace are three: the reading and preaching of the Word of God, prayer, and of course, the sacraments. These three means of grace are given to us freely by God, and are you to attend to them diligently, in order that the Holy Spirit may work His mercy in you and make us more like Jesus Christ. So we have choices to make about how we spend our Sabbath day, how to think, how to act, how to please or grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm going to call your attention to these now. Here are specific methods that God has prescribed in the Word of God before you. Things, methods to use to grow in grace. Verse 22, put off your old self. And verse 24, put on the new self. Now these are categories that are quite simple to understand. If I were standing before you and I had a heavy overcoat on, you would say, why doesn't he take off that heavy coat? Put it off and put on his suit coat. Look presentable. Putting off and putting on is not a hard concept to gather in your mind. Of course, the application is always something that we have to work with. What specific sins grieve the Holy Spirit in your life? Put them off. What graces do you need that are not flowing in your current schedule? Put it on. Notice that this is not a suggestion. It is a command. It is not from merely Paul, but from God. And since God gave you this command, He has given you the ability to keep this command or to grow in it in your whole lifetime. Paul himself knew this changing process. He said once, I was a child. When I was a child, I thought childish things. I did childish things. But when I grew up and became a man, I put away those childish things. Put off and put on. Now, are you on board with God's plan? God gives us specific items to put off. Point number three. Verse 25. Look at your verse. Put off lying. 26. Put off anger that is not holy. 27. Remember, the devil has his way with you when you're in a rage. 28. Put off stealing. Pay your bills. 29. Put off corrupt talk. 30. Beware of grieving the Holy Spirit. We need an intimate, interpersonal relationship with Him. And verse 31, put off bitterness. Putting off is your first step in this text. What do you need to put off? Well, in any congregation, in any community, in any family, there are temptations to harbor grudges, to be competitive, to want to be first. In any association of members and in schools and friendships even, there's competition for to be an exclusive friend. I have a daughter who is moving to a new area, and someone came to her, a granddaughter I should say, and wanted to be her fast friend right away. And she was like clingy. And my granddaughter, like a grandfather, was a little put off by that. There are people who want exclusivity to you, and others who don't really want anything to do with you. But among all this, there's gossip, exaggerations, things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And they come in some category in verse 31, the idea of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, malice. So put these things off. And I urge you, I urge my own soul to think about things that fit in this category in my life that I need to continue to fight against and put off. Verse 24, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. There are gifts of the Spirit in you, and there are graces that He has for you that He wants you to put on. Sinclair said, become what you are. You brothers and sisters are already in Christ. Become what you are. United to Christ. We share in His new creation. This is Ferguson. We no longer live as we once did. The powers of the new age have been released into our lives. We're no longer living in the domain where sin reigns, but in Christ where grace and righteousness reign. That's Ferguson's comment. Evidently, if we are Christians, we're able to do this as we follow God's Word and the Holy Spirit. We are part of this new creation. We can change. We do have the Holy Spirit. We have God's Word. We have this church, or Christ Church. We have pastors and elders to care and mold us and counsel us. We can mature. We can become more like Jesus. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have his power to put off your sinful inclinations, to put on his new life. And maybe it will be gradual. It will take great focus. But Jesus and his church and his servants are here to help you. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. 5:1. Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When I was a teenager, I was, of course, immature, but my characteristic fault was moodiness. Someone's shaking their head like they know me, but that's... I was moody. And I was especially possessive of a girl that came to our church when I was 11 and she was 9. And when she would talk to some other boy in the church, I got moody. And her mother, who was a great counselor to me, pastor's wife, and she liked me really. She was helping me to break my moodiness. She would come home from church and say to Gail, "Is Larry in one of his moods again?" And then she would counsel me to put away moodiness. And by the grace of God and the counsel of my then mother-in-law become, God helped me, and I'm happily married. God's mercy is there. What sinful inclinations do you possess? Fight with. The Word of God, the Church of God, the counsel of God, and of course the Holy Spirit working through the means of grace are here to bless you and cause you to target what you should be putting off and then to know what to put on. Would you pray together? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are patient with us, that you are not holding against us our sins, but have forgiven them. And by forgiving us, you have granted us the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And now, O Lord, we pray your mercy upon us. You'll help us to apply this text to our lives in very specific ways. Thinking throughout this Lord's day and throughout this week, talking with loved ones and pastors and friends, but how we may identify these sinful hangers-on and put them away and put on the grace of God. In whose name we pray. Amen.